Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning. Hope you have that Bible handy, and let's keep it open right there to Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you so much, Brother Cameron, for reading the Word of God loudly and clearly. We appreciate it. It's really good to be here. We have been blessed, my family and I, this last week to visit friends and family in Tennessee and Indiana and Alabama. But boy, it sure is good to be home. Really burning up the miles there on the road, and I could sympathize a lot with what Stephen was telling us about the importance of planning and spending time together as a family. I'm thankful this morning. I'm thanking God for safe travels and praying that He continues His watchfulness over our other friends and brethren who are still traveling this weekend. And we want everybody to come home safe this time of year. Hope that you had a good week as well. It's an exciting time for the congregation. In fact, there's three things going on I'm very excited about. I just want to highlight and remind you about real quick. Number one is tonight, immediately following our Bible classes at 6 p.m., there's an informational meeting about Vacation Bible School. There was a paper invitation for this in your mailboxes in the back, if you've checked those recently. But if you want to teach or help or would just like to know about the Vacation Bible School, please come to that tonight. I'm very excited about that. Right after our evening Bible class. Second thing I'm very excited about, I want to remind you about, is this next weekend, the technology and the Christian workshops, conference that we're having right here. Everyone, of course, is welcome and invited, but it is especially for our Livingston family. We really hope that you can attend. We've got a schedule on that on the back table. We've got synopsis of what the different sessions are about, all the information there so that you can plan and for the age-appropriate members of your family to be at the right sessions. All that information is there. Third thing I'm excited about is on April 9th, we're going to have a Bring a Friend Day. Peter designed an invitation tracker this year that we can see. I can even see it from right here. It's fantastic. Good-looking invitation cards as well. And here's our challenge. Here's what we want to do. We want to make 1,000 invitations between now and April 9th. Say, how do I invite 1,000 friends and neighbors or people down my road to come and worship on April 9th? Well, if each of us will invite three, if each in the room will invite three over the next 3 weeks, we're going to get to our 1,000. The fun thing about the tracker is when you make one of those invitations, you color in a box. And that feels real good. I want you to feel good like that. Make those invitations, color in the box. And we're excited for people to come. That lesson that day is going to be a very clear proclamation of the gospel. The end of business as usual. We're going to talk about the truth and the implications of the cross and the resurrection that day. And I hope that you'll be here that day and that you will bring a friend with you that day. Jesus said that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. In Matthew 5 and verse 14, the Holy Spirit said through the pen of the Apostle Paul, become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You're the light of the world. Shine as lights in the world. You are the children of God. Christ's people, His body, God's family is set on a hill, and that is as intended. We are set on a hill that we would be different, that we would be easily identified, that the message of the cross might be readily found by others. Be light. This lesson this morning is a lesson about Christian uniqueness and mission. This morning we're talking about the importance of being light. What it means to shine as light in darkness. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And so it's not just preachers or the deacons or the elders in the church that need to shine. It is all of God's children. It is all of the saints that need to shine. We are light. We must be distinct from the world's darkness. It is a darkness that surrounds us. Light in the darkness. Shine as light in the darkness. What does it mean to be light? What does it mean to walk in the light? First off, it means that we are personal examples. That if I am light and I walk in light, then I need to be deliberately distinct of darkness and the darkness that surrounds me. But even more than my example, my own commitment, you know, I can only take care of my side of the street. There is this. An active promotion of truth, a propagating of truth. You see, being light means that we defy darkness. Light defies darkness. It's not that light is just different from darkness. It is. But light pushes back darkness. Light drives out darkness. Light defies darkness. And the Bible shows us light. It shows us darkness. We can identify it through the lens of Scripture. God shows us. God names it. This is light. This is darkness. But where is our will to defy darkness? I might understand it. I might even appreciate where I, kind of ought to land on things. But where is my will to defy darkness? Where is my will to drive darkness back? To drive darkness back from my heart. To drive darkness back from my life and my family. To drive darkness back from the church. Where's my will to drive darkness back? And I am learning. I am learning from Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 14, what it means to be darkness defying light. As we walk through these verses together, I want us to appreciate a series of contrasts that become very, very clear. Paul is telling us what to be, what not to be. Who to be, who not to be. What to do, what not to do. So that we are light, walking in light and being darkness defying light. Let me talk about these contrasts real quick. And all of this was in Cameron's reading. You've heard it once, but you might want to just look at the page as we kind of talk about it in a little different way. There's two groups of people identified in the verses that we read in Ephesians 5, verse 14. And there's a group that are called the children of God. And there are those called the sons of disobedience. And that's about a relationship, right? Are you in Christ? Are you the children of God? Are you apart from Christ? And those two groups have a different future hope. Those who are children of God have a hope of inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. That's what I'm looking for. There's my confident expectation. But if I'm apart from Christ, if I'm not one of God's children, he talks about what's in store for them too. The wrath of God that comes upon the sons of disobedience. Not only is there a distinction in the future hope, there is a distinction in identity. The children of God are light, so walk in light. Sons of disobedience, they are darkness. And there's things going on in the darkness. According to Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 14, you have then the relationship, the children, the future hope, the identity. What is the evidence? Well, how will I know if I am of the light? How will I know if I'm the children of God? Is the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Is the fruit of light in your life? Because we know how we'll identify the sons of disobedience. It says that they are involved in all sort of unfruitful works. In verse 11 and verse 13, there's a difference in mission. Because the children of God, the light, they have a mission to expose darkness. Darkness defying light. Expose it. Some of your English versions say, reprove the darkness. The sons of disobedience, they are partakers of the darkness. They have fellowship in the darkness. They're comfortable in the darkness. They like it there in the dark. What is told to the children of God, you need to awake. This is about a mentality. We cannot accept to be in the darkness. We cannot let the darkness to wash over us. Wake up! Those in the darkness, they're asleep. It's easy to sleep in the darkness. Finally, from verse 14, what are the children of God told? They're told to arise because there's life in Christ and he gives you light. Those that are the sons of disobedience, verse 14, they're dead. But all are called to awake and all are called to arise, to be light and be the children of God. Who are the children of God? See, I believe I'm talking to mostly a room full of children of God today. And if you're not a child of God today, I trust this about you. You'd like to be a child of God. Certainly when you consider being a child of God versus being a son of a disobedience, we all want to be the children of God. But by the contrast, he tells us if you're the child of God, your identity needs to be light. He teaches us and challenges us to shine as light. And he calls us to defy darkness, to be darkness defying light. So I'm going to break that down now as we go into our notes. And I trust you are handed an interactive outline on the way in. What does it mean to be darkness-defying light? How do we defy darkness? Number one, be distinct. Number one, be distinct. And as you're looking on the page of your own Bible, it's Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 7, we're going to be talking about for a few minutes here. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Be distinct. Be different from this world around us, from this darkness around us. And what is that difference? Where does that difference begin? Who does he tell you to imitate? Who does he tell you to be like? Did you catch it? Our Father, God. Be imitators of God. And we are distinct by imitating God. Particularly when we appreciate and learn, our God is holy. Be holy, for I am holy. But observe with me, in particularly in chapter 5 and verse 2, where do we begin? By walking in love. You want to be an imitator of God? As dear children, walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You begin to imitate the Father. You begin to be light and darkness-defying light when you are walking in love. And my hope for your marriage, my hope for your home, my hope for this church is that we are distinct. Distinct for imitating God and distinct for walking in love. I hope that your marriage, home, the church is distinct because these are places of love where people are walking in love. We find in our homes and we find in our relationships consideration and self-sacrifice. We find in our marriages vow-keeping and service and honor to one another. We find in the church respect and edification and encouragement for one another. And I tell you that walking in love shines bright. It is distinct from the world around us. It is a cold place and a selfish place and a dark place. But this is to be the place of love, because that looks like the children of God. We are distinct. We imitate God's love. God is love. And he shows us how to love. In the example of Christ, we pursue Christ's likeness so that we might imitate our Father and be walking in love. Imitate your Father, God, and God is holy. Be holy, for I am holy. And we are distinct by pursuing holiness as we abstain from evil. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 22, it says, abstain from every form of evil, or all forms of evil. As Christians, as light, as the children of God, we need to be those who practice self-control. Or another word for that self-control, practice temperance. We learned in the scripture there are things that holy people, God's people, do not do. Because why? Well, in the affirmative, because they're pursuing holiness. There's places we don't go. Why? Well, it's actually because I'm pursuing holiness. And the world can mock that. The world can say, oh, you think you're better than other people. Oh, you think you're the only ones going to heaven. Oh, you think you're, you know, so self-righteous. But understand, and I'm trying to understand, I want holiness. I'm trying to imitate God. And this world has gone far from him. There's the blessing of love, and there's the blessing of holiness. And I will tell you that just as love defies darkness, holiness defies darkness. It defies evil behavior. There's some evil behavior talked about here in these verses, aren't there? Look at verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, the called out people of God, the holy people of God. Or verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. There's just a couple short little lists here, isn't there? But these are lists of evil behavior. When it talks about fornication, this is all kinds of sexual immorality, sexual congress outside of the relationship of marriage. When it talks about uncleanness, that is various moral corruptions and perversities. And we need to defy these things. Do we defy these things? Or do we delight in these things? You see, I don't defy evil behavior as long as my attitude is, boy, I wish I could. But I'm a Christian. But I'm a Christian, so I won't. I'm not defying it. If I said, boy, I'd really like to. But I'm a Christian, so I won't. I mean, God bless you for remembering you're a Christian in the hour of temptation. But I'm talking about an attitude that says, the things that the devil would allure me with, I need to develop a disgust to it, a defiance of it. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't feel like I am missing out so much because God calls it evil, or God calls it wicked, or God calls it uncleanness and perversity. You see, defiance is a bold disobedience. Defiance is open resistance. I don't defy evil behavior as long as I say, not that there's anything wrong with that. That's not defiance. I mean, you have your way, and I wouldn't do that myself personally, but no, not that there's anything wrong with that. You have your choice. I'm light. I don't go in the darkness, but you should enjoy that darkness. Not that there's anything wrong with darkness. That's not defiance. That's not defying evil. Who am I to judge? I wouldn't personally do it. Follow your own heart. We're not helping anybody when we say things like that. Or worse, you're a Christian, but as a Christian, you're jumping from bed to bed to bed. And you're all up into that hookup culture. And whether that's heterosexual hookup culture, homosexual hookup culture, whatever. This word is about sexual congress beyond the covenant of marriage. What's worse, you're a Christian, but you're always looking at pornography. What's worse, you're a Christian, but you're texting nudes to your boyfriend or your girlfriend because that's the next step in the relationship. And that's what we do when we date online. That's evil behavior. These kinds of things that are spoken about clearly says, don't let that even be named among you. Evil speech. In verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting. Do we delight in these things? Are we defiant to these things? Words are so powerful. Your words are so powerful. Your speech is so powerful. One of the great things, I was listening to Todd Chandler preach a fantastic sermon back at the Florida College Lectures. And one of the things he was talking about was the power of words. And one of the aspects of being made in the image of God is that we have a language. That we can form words and communicate in words. And those words are meaningful. I never thought about that. Likeness to God. But he was absolutely right. And the power in speech is it can be so constructive and positive. Boy, it can build up. It can instruct. It can share the gospel. That's wonderful. And the danger of that speech is it can tear down. It can start fires. And now with our phones and the internet and social media, our words go farther. They go faster. They last longer. Think about that. You know, your chats and your DMs, your posts, your tweets, your retweets, the text threads, all of it is this running record of your words. This running record of your speech. And you can go back and look. Is it gossip? Is it a whole lot of gossip? Is it lies? Is it just foolishness? Now, I understand, sometimes when we say foolishness, we think goofiness. Biblical foolishness is that which is opposed to the wisdom and way of God. Think of the book of Proverbs for what foolishness is, right? So how much of our speech is really about against the wisdom and the ways of God? And we're entertaining all those ideas and we're promoting all of those things. It's about our speech. Is it slander? Is it secular? Is it vulgar? Is it hateful? And I don't mean hate like the world defines hate, which is, well, I didn't like something you said, so that's hate speech. I'm talking about it's coming from a place of malice in my heart, because the Bible talks about that, and it's a sin. What's our speech like? Evil behavior. Evil speech. You can use your speech to defy darkness. You use your speech as light when you speak truth, when you compliment, when you encourage, when you build people up, when you model gracious and merciful speech, when you share the gospel, when you share scripture. That's being light. That's defying darkness. There's a third element discussed here in these verses, and particularly in verse 3 and verse 5 again. There's this word that appears a couple of times, and it's the word covetousness, which is getting right to our heart and what's going on in our heart. Covetousness and idolatry. Do we delight in covetousness or do we defy covetousness? Are we defiant towards idolatry? And I know we don't talk about covetousness a whole lot, but it's kind of like the paragraph ends, wake up. And so awake to the fact that we are bombarded by marketing messages and advertisements constantly. And there's that adage that marketers use, you know, sex sells. And I said just a moment ago about warnings about sexual sin and uncleanness in the heart. And there's an awful lot of those messages that promote that. But think for me, with me for just a moment about selling. Every pop-up ad, every commercial, every billboard, every you may also like this item based off of your past purchases. Every people who bought this also bought all of these things. You're people, aren't you? Buy all of these things. You know, so many ways that it comes with us. And I will say all of those messages, every time, they are not teaching your heart gratitude for what you have. And they are not teaching your heart contentment with what you have. And they are not teaching your heart joy with what you have. All of these messages, they do not teach you charity, that you ought to share what you have or give away what you have. They are designed to feed selfishness, to feed discontent, to feed covetousness in our hearts. You need this service. You need this product now. This is something you can't live without. And I know as a Christian, as a son of God, you know in your mind, well, the only thing I can't live without is God. If I don't have God, then I really can't live. They'll make you forget that. No, you need this as well. You're not satisfied as well. You're not content until you have all of this. And I will just tell you this morning, we breathe some greedy, covetous air. We don't notice that. That stuff's getting in our hearts. Defy it. Defy it with contentment and prayers of gratitude to God for what we have. Our God is holy. We want to be holy like Him, defying evil behavior, evil speech, and evil hearts. The power of darkness is deception. In Ephesians 5 and verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And it really is deception to think I can be involved in all kind of evil behavior. I can all kind of evil speech. I can have a wicked and evil heart, and that boy, there just won't be any consequences to that. It's a great deception. The great deception. You will not reap what you sow. You will not harvest what you plant. You can have it all the wickedness, and all the blessings of God. You can have it all. And this text says, no, there is light and there is darkness. And you're getting all of one or you're getting all of the other. Don't be deceived and think it's any other way. We are distinctive. So then when we act like saints, in fact, act like the saints we are. What saints? The holy ones of God, the called out ones of God, the set apart people of God. That's saints. That's another word in the New Testament for the followers of Jesus. You got disciple and you got Christian and you got saint. But you got to act like a saint. Live like a saint. And as soon as I say that, people are like, I mean, I go to church, but I'm no saint. That's how we, in our minds, we operate like there's this two-tier class of people that follow Jesus. And as long as I'm a Christian, I don't have to be a saint. That is so mistaken. That is so wrong. There's darkness and there's light. You're getting all of the one, you're getting all of the other. Be light. Walk in light. You are a saint. Own that. And love that. It's good to be one of God's children. It's good to be one. He says you're a saint so that these things are not even named among you. What's that mean? there's no suggestion of these things going on in your life. You're a saint. Do not be partakers with them. What's that mean? It means you're not sharing in the sexual sin, the evil speech, the idolatry, the world, whatever else is going on. Because you are sharing in God and that inheritance. Lest you share in their inheritance, which is the wrath of God that comes upon the sons of disobedience. God's wrath is against all those things. That's why we don't want them. We want God. We want light. And so the difference is made. Darkness-defying difference is made when we personally are abstaining from evil, pursuing holiness. My life, my example, my relationship, my home, this is me. This is where I live. I'm a saint. I'm a child of God. Defy darkness. But then there's a second, and that's number two in your notes. To be darkness-defying light, we have to be deliberate. I look at the end of the paragraph, and now I'm kind of talking verses 8 through 14, if you're following along. Verses 8 through 14. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And when you're asleep, there's just nothing deliberate about that. Bless your heart. Some of you have to work so hard to fall asleep, and my heart breaks for you. But once you're there, it's easy, right? It's the waking up that you're kind of dragging. Oh, time change weekend last weekend. How rough was that? I'm not over it. Not over it today. You got to be deliberate. Wake up. We need to be deliberately defiant. How so? It means breaking fellowship with darkness. In Ephesians 5 and verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In verse 11, the scripture says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. What does that mean to break fellowship? Fellowship is sharing, partnering together, joint participation. That's what fellowship is. And now because you are God in with God, one of his children, through Christ, you got fellowship with God, you got to break some fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. With the darkness. Deliberately defiant. The past is going to stay in the past. I'm breaking fellowship with those things. Who I was before Christ. What I did before Christ, those things that God says, that is darkness, and it's shameful to talk about the things they do in the dark. That's the past. I'm light. I'm in Christ. That stays in the past. And we do not need to excuse or desire or glorify sin in any way. What we can glorify is God's ability to bring good out of evil. God's ability to bring some good out of sin. God's ability to redeem us from our sins. But we don't need to be creeping back to those things. We don't need to believe we left something precious back behind there. We should go back and get it there. Break that fellowship with darkness. Because the old ways will creep back into our lives. Those old habits. You know, we were doing those things for years. Those are habits. Old relationships, people that we were running around with, old patterns of behavior that pull on us. And we need to defy darkness and break that fellowship. Younger people read passages like this in the scripture, people of any age, I guess, but there's a real curiosity about some of these sins. Maybe we should try just a little bit. Maybe we should go see for ourselves. And then we could decide if God was right or not, you know, about these things being wicked and destructive and harmful. You know, maybe God doesn't, you know, isn't telling us everything yet. Well, that's why it's a temptation. But if we are children of light, we understand we need to defy that darkness. Resist the devil, he will flee. And sometimes this breaking of fellowship with darkness can be quite costly. There are people who have had to change their jobs to break fellowship with darkness. Think about some of those people that were converted in the Bible. Think about the sinners and the prostitutes. They were told to go and sin no more. You can't go back to those jobs. You can't go back to doing those things. You have to find a new way. people who learn the truth about abortion. And they're giving their life to Christ now, but they've been working at the clinics. Going to keep working at the clinics? Can't keep working at the clinics. People who have been giving their lives over to drugs and they were making their money selling drugs. You think you can become a Christian and keep selling drugs? People who have been involved in all type of theft and schemes for money, cheating people out of money. You think you can become a Christian and keep on stealing from people and cheating people? No, you cannot. And so you've got to find a new path to supply your needs. To work with honest hands redeemed by Christ. But it makes mean some hard choices when you're figuring about how I'm going to pay for my life. It might mean breaking relationships. That fellowship with darkness. You become a Christian. You realize the Lord is against a man and a woman living together without marriage. That's a sin. So you're going to become a Christian and then keep on shacking up? Are you going to become a Christian and keep on trying to seduce people of the opposite sex? No. That's the ways of sin. You cannot keep those behaviors and run around with those same people. It might mean breaking old relationships or friendships because you begin to notice, man, whenever I was around that group of guys, it seems like we always got into trouble. The cops showed up. There was drugs. Some other kind of trouble. I shouldn't be around those people anymore. I need the light. I'm light. But I hate to say goodbye to my friends. And they still text me like, what's up, man? What are you doing this weekend? We miss you. How do we navigate that? Might mean breaking some habits or some hobbies because of where those things led. I want to encourage all the young people to be very clear about your boundaries of purity and make those known to your boyfriend or to your girlfriend. Let them know and abide by it. Don't say, well, we'll talk about it when we get there. Let them know. See if you're on the same page about those things. That you're light, you're saints, you're children of light. And you're breaking fellowship with those things. Young people say, well, I've made some mistakes in the past and I've violated some lines in the past. All right. There's forgiveness and new birth in Christ. But like he tells all of us, go and sin no more. There's forgiveness. We're just not going to continue doing those things. We're going to be in the light. Deliberately defiant against those things. We're deliberately defiant by exposing darkness. What does that mean? That means identifying and rebuking evil. That's what that means. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, the Christians are taught to speak truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And you know your motive and I know my motive. But there's a conviction here that if we're going to be defying darkness, I'm going to speak truth in love and I'm going to risk being canceled. I'm going to risk some hard feelings with family or friends because they need to know. I love them too much not to tell them. I'm going to risk. We don't like to do this at all as a society. The closest we'll get many times is to qualify something. We don't say this is right. We say, I mean, this is right for me. We don't say this is what the Bible says. Well, this is what the Bible says to me. We qualify, and we get so bold because we're qualifying. But exposing darkness really is taking this behavior or this attitude, whatever it may be, setting it next to the Word of God and saying what God's Word says about this is the truth of it. And God's Word is light, and this other, if it's not light, then it's darkness. And we're not going to be involved in the darkness. We're exposing darkness. How do I do that? I just set it against the Word of God. Even Christians and preachers on television, they want to say that Jesus is the way. They say, Jesus is the way for me. Jesus is a way. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That is a lightness or darkness statement there. If we're going to be saints and children of God, we're going to be with Christ on that. And so there aren't other ways. There is moral error that needs to be identified, exposed. That's darkness. And there is religious error that is darkness as well. There's so many warnings in the New Testament about false teachers, false prophets. It even says there could be false apostles. And today we live in this religious pluralism that says, well, what's true for you and true for... There is nothing false. Absolutely. There are no false teachers leading anyone astray. They just found them on a different path. And that path will get to heaven too. No. No, when we're reading Ephesians 5, we see that religious error is so dangerous. The perverted and twisted gospels are so dangerous. World religions are so dangerous. False teaching about the plan of salvation or the Lord's church, it's dangerous. Why? Because people take those things to heart and they have a false hope. That's the problem with false teachers and false prophets. They give these people this false hope. And they think, well, the books are closed on these things. It's all settled. I know the way it is. And they become blinded and hardened to the truth. It's awful. False teaching, false prophets, false apostles, false gospels. And those with the word of God need to be defiant of that darkness and expose that darkness. That's what we're reading right here. Again, how do you do that? It's by opening up the word of God. It's not because Andrew said so. That preacher was really worked up and he said some things. What does the scripture say? That's the standard. That exposes darkness. Defying darkness means deliberately defiant, and the evidence of or fruit of light in your life is goodness, is righteousness, is truth. When I read these verses, when you're reading them with me this morning, it really is an invitation to take a good, hard, long look in the mirror, isn't it? And to be honest about what's really characterizing my life. Because the evidence that I am light, the evidence that I'm the child of God, the evidence I'm a saint, I'm seeing goodness in my life. And righteousness and the things of God and truth is what's permeating my life. And then there's a great list in these verses of all the other things that may characterize a life. And they are not of God. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't read this and say, oh, you know what? I'm going to go home this week. I'm going to work really hard on being good. Because if I'm good, then I'll be light. This message is about pursuing light and being light. To be darkness defying light. And this fruit will be in your life. The goodness, the righteousness, the truth, these things come. And praise God, they compound. It's deliberate. It's not accidental. All right, then. Number three in your notes. Will you defy darkness? Will you be light? And it is challenging. It is challenging because so many of us can be comfortable with, I get that I need to set the good example and I want to do right things. But start, you know, kind of to push that darkness back in my home or in my family or start talking to neighbors and coworkers about spiritual things, we're a little anxious about that. Will you defy darkness? Light defies darkness. To move from darkness to distinction, it requires repentance and it requires conversion. You need to convert and become a Christian. According to the word that is given in the New Testament, we're told in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 that he who believes, that is the gospel preached in the context, he who believes the gospel and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. If you heard that message, you need to obey that message. Believe it. Be baptized. Be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Convert to Christ as we're taught in the New Testament so that you are God's through Christ. But part of that is repentance, isn't it? Turning away from my life and my want-tos and the things I've been doing to pursue God's way and follow God's leading. And it may very well be that I was baptized and I'm a child of God, but boy, I'm not light, as I've been reading about it in Ephesians 5. I need to repent. I need to repent. And the Lord receives that repentance. The Lord makes us new again. To move from distinction to defiance, then, requires temperance, that is self-control, and militance. Militance, that's Ephesians 6. That's when you put on the whole armor of God. That's when you go to war. Yes. But Ephesians 5 is on the way to Ephesians 6. And I don't see how anything we've talked about this morning is happening accidentally. In fact, I was reminded of an old preacher who was explaining to me in his wisdom what preaching over the years was like. And he said, for me, where I began, it was a honeymoon. I loved preaching. There was the joy of discovering. There was love in the church. You're seeing people obey the gospel. I mean, it's just a honeymoon. Everything about preaching is a honeymoon. And years kind of went by. He said, I got to be honest to you. There came a point when preaching became work. It was work to continue on and to persist, to labor and to not let up. It was work. He said, and a few more years passed by, and he goes, you know what it became for me? A war. It went from a honeymoon to work to a war. Because he really began to see the consequences. He really began to see as life goes by that being light really is about conquest and driving away darkness. Being light really is about being in Christ's side, who conquers all evil forces and principalities and worldly influences. Being light really is about a work of liberation, because souls around you are in chains and they are enslaved to sin and selfishness and this world. And the light sets them free. The gospel sets them free. And that light is opposed by darkness, and it is a conflict day in and day out. But Christians, you are light. And as I thought about his words, I thought how true that is for all of us more or less. Isn't it wonderful when we first obey the gospel and everything is new and there is zeal and joy for the Lord, and I pray we never lose it. But for many of us, we will say that as the life of faith progressed, there was ebbs and flows, and it did start to get to be work. And some people would say, well, then you're not really a Christian if it feels like work to you. And I'd say those people are wrong. Because you're reading the scriptures about service. And you're reading the scriptures about duty. And you're reading the scriptures about sacrifice and stewardship. And of course there's a work to being a Christian. But do we get to the place where we appreciate it's war? People talk about how much perspective changes when you have children. And it really does. And maybe that's what turns the light on for some of us. Or perspective changes when a dear loved one dies. Or that friend that you kind of kept putting off teaching the gospel to or saying a word to, but they died. It has a tremendous effect upon you. And you begin to realize the time is short, and this really is a war. And I need to redeem this time. And I'm light right now. I've got a mission right now. And there's promises and hope about tomorrow, and the Lord will be there, and that'll be great. Today we're light. Darkness defying light. If you would take your notes away, put them away, put those Bibles away if you desire. I appreciate your good attention as we've looked at these scriptures, and the last question is left with you. Where are you? Where are you in your heart and your relationship with God? You think about that contrast. Are you children, a child of God? Are you the light? Is that what it looks like, that side of Ephesians chapter 5? Or is it these other things? Know that God loves you. Jesus died for you. He rose again that you can have forgiveness. Be with God through Christ. Be light and walk in light. It is there for you. Choose it. And we make that so easy. If you want to become a Christian, there's water ready and clothing's ready. Everything's ready if you want to become a Christian this morning. And it may be that you say, I've been baptized, I'm a Christian, but I'm not light. Can we pray for you as you repent? Encourage you in some spiritual way? We need to take these things to our heart today and ask where we are in light of Christ. And if we can help you with any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward now so that we stand and sing. Won't you